What's up, everyone? Welcome to Mondays with Vish. This is a special episode. The Niners are in the NFC Championship game, and we have Vish here to talk about it. Problem is, the Niners messed up with the schedule today. Supposed to have a 3:30 conference call with Kyle. Now they moved it up to 2. What did I say? 2:15.
You said 2:15.
2:15, which means we have 40 minutes. So today is not the day to donate. Please do not donate, because I can't promise you that I'm going to get to all of them. And a lot of them I'm just going to put on the screen and we won't even talk about, because we have 40 minutes. I have 6 topics. We want to hear what Vish has to say. So please don't donate today. I'm saying today's the bad day. 40 minutes. Let's go rapid round. Starting with Kyle Shanahan. I often said, he's a great offensive coordinator, but a head coach? Well, now he's won, 8 of his last 10? And his offense really isn't the reason why, at least in the playoffs. So what is he doing right in your eyes?
Yeah, there's a lot of things he's doing right. And I think this is a great topic to start off, because I want to take my L for the season right here and right now. I thought there was no way the 49ers would make it this far with Jimmy Garoppolo continuing to play the same way he did as 2019. Yeah. I was wrong. They were right. Too. They did make it this far. The fan in me is absolutely ecstatic about it. So going to what Kyle Shanahan is doing right, I think there's so many things he's doing right from a head coaching perspective. I think the first thing is, he's instilled a belief in this team, and it's a self-belief that I think is maybe the strongest of any team left in the playoffs. This team truly believes, no matter how much they're losing by, no matter who they're playing, no matter where they're playing, that they will win out playing their style of football. And I think that sort of confidence in their style of football is a confidence in Kyle Shanahan, and it's also a reflection of his own confidence in himself. We talked about his courage of his convictions to stick with Jimmy last week, and I think that reflects on the team. The second thing is, I think he's become masterful in terms of managing the game. His game plan is very simple. I have a defense that can stop anybody and everybody. I'm going to get myself to 40 runs, and I'm going to get myself to 40 runs by getting the ball to Deebo Samuel. And he's been sticking with that plan, and that's kind of like the big transition in the middle of the season, right, was moving Deebo Samuel and getting him the ball as a ball carrier and actually running their offense and their bread-and-butter run plays with Deebo Samuel as a running back. Right. And he is special beyond special, because he's able to execute it and then bring this level of explosiveness and physicality, which is kind of unseen in the running back position throughout the NFL. So I think he's been fantastic that way. And then I think the third thing that he's done really, really well is just maintain his composure throughout the season. There were so many points in this season where he could have made an emotional decision, and instead he was poised. He looked at each situation and he looked at it as, okay, this is what I thought. Here's where I was wrong. Here's where I was right. Let me not overreact and let me make what I feel is the best decision. And now we're seeing the rewards of his patience, his poise, his endurance through the bad parts of this season, because the Niners, he finally got figured out what was the best way to get this group of players to win. And he's finally managing to do that. I think this is even a better coaching performance than his 2019 season, because I think this is the first time we've seen Kyle Shanahan go through adversity midseason, have an opportunity to respond to the adversity and actually respond to it. I think what he's done this season has been spectacular, and it's really, and I think Grant, honestly, I know I've always been a little too high on him. I think some people have accused me of being a Shanistan or a Stanahan. I think you've been a little lower on him, but I think this year should put to at least give you a little bit of, okay, this guy is a really good head coach. I do think that's the fair conclusion to draw at this point.
Yeah, I mean, to me, what I was basically saying is, look, I see the potential. We all acknowledge his potential, but he gets so much credit off of his potential because of his last name. That's where the banana hands thing came in. Like, can we just stop giving him the benefit of the doubt and let him actually, you know, realize it and grow? And he did. And I think it's because we called him banana hands. I don't think he liked it. I think he felt, you know, I got to actually do something. And boom, he became, I thought he grew a lot as a coach this year. And I want to give him credit for one more thing. All year we've given Jimmy Garoppolo and the offense credit for their heroics at the end of games. How about Kyle? Every time they need a drive, no matter what he's been able to do, what kind of rhythm he's in, they're in, he has it. So it's like, the last 2 weeks, too, with the game on the line, those run calls on third and long for Deebo, like, you got to feel like fans, players, everyone in the organization has to have confidence in Kyle with the game on the line, no matter what he's done. That's a big thing.
And even it's that little adjustment, right? I think we talked about it last week on this show. Like, Deebo Samuel is the heart and soul on this team. And to me, every big moment in every big ball game from here on out, especially because it's win and go home, you put the ball in Deebo Samuel's hands, and Deebo Samuel either wins the game for you or loses the game for you. But you win and lose by Deebo Samuel, in my opinion, if you're the Niners offense. The fourth and one, I thought, you know, even though I think it was a bust by Elijah Mitchell, by, you know, if he took that side, he might have scored a touchdown.
There was a lane.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. If he just followed Trent Williams, followed the motion, he might have scored a touchdown. But at the same time, I did question the play call on Twitter. I was like, I don't like questioning play calls. I don't usually do that. But to me, you cannot run a play with your season on the line without Deebo Samuel being on the field, given the season he's had. Well, you should have gotten the ball back. Right.
Now, and then he did get the ball on third and seven.
Right. And you go to third and seven, he goes to Deebo Samuel. And, you know, that's.
Do you love how Kyle learns his lesson right away? He's honest with himself. He's like, I messed up. I got to go to Deebo here. I messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to me, that third and seven play, that was all guts and effort to get the first down. That play was blocked for maybe 4 or 5 yards. To get seven, that's Deebo Samuel being special.
Absolutely. So Kyle Shanahan's ability to admit when he did something wrong and immediately change this year has been off the charts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His ability to manage his quarterback, manage the game, it's unreal the way he's coaching.
Absolutely. This time next year, Jimmy G will be starting starring the new Hallmark movie, You Turn Over My Heart. Oh, come on. Oh, let's talk about the defense before we get there. Is this 2021 defense better than the 2019 defense?
I don't know if you can say better. Better, it's that defense in 2019 was historic in certain metrics. Like, their pass defense for a lot of that season was historic. Mm-hmm. I do think you can say they're better equipped to handle certain things than the 2019 defense. I think they're a little more creative with their fronts than the 2019 defense. I think they move their fronts around a little bit here or here, you know, instead of playing a nose tackle, playing him as a 2-eye and doing small things like that to make subtle adjustments to make their fronts more effective. I do think they're more creative in the back end. And I think it's a little less. They just line up and play the defense they're in. They're a lot more creative in terms of how they rotate their safeties and create just a second of confusion for quarterbacks. And then the other thing I would probably say is I think they're healthier at this point in the season than the 2019 defense. I think that makes the biggest difference. Yeah. I don't know if you can out and out say they're a better defense, because top to bottom, from week one to week 19, more or less, that 2019 defense was unbelievable. They had a small stretch of games when everybody was tired. The defensive line was a little bit tired that they didn't play as well. But overall, they were phenomenal. But I do think in terms of being better equipped maybe to handle if they play the Chiefs again in the Super Bowl, I think this defense might have a slight advantage there because, you know, the late safety rotations, how good, you know, the Emmanuel Mosley's playing. I think Emmanuel Mosley's playing at a level higher than Sherman was playing in 2019, just in terms of his ability to do everything. Obviously, Sherman, all-time great corner in that scheme. It's tough to say he's better. I just think Emmanuel Mosley, you know,
I never thought Sherman was great in 2019. I always thought Sherman was a borderline liability, and I was surprised it took until the Super Bowl for someone to go for it. But it was really before this. It was the NFC Championship game, and it was late, and they were winning, and they showed it. Anyway, there's no more liabilities on the defense anymore, in my opinion. I don't think it's any.
Yeah, and then to go along with that, to me, I'll go as far as to say this. At this point in the season, to me, the trio of Bosa, Arden Key, and Eric Armstead is playing better than the trio of Bosa, Armstead, and Buckner played in 2019. Bosa's a better version of Bosa. To me, Armstead's playing at a level right now. I never saw DeForest Buckner dominate games like this. I'm sorry. He was a phenomenal player.
Dude, he can – okay, so Armstead's great. I apologize. I was wrong. The way he can flip a switch is crazy. Why doesn't he just do this all the time? If I were Eric Armstead's coach, I'd be like, all right, Eric, my advice is just do this all the time. All right, back to you.
There's a slight more physical dominance to Eric Armstead than there is to DeForest Buckner.
Yeah,
there's
Buckner's just more like a power that just wrecks plays. Judo, you kind of guy, and Armstead is in your face. Yeah, I agree.
He just wrecks plays. And then Arden Key is practically unblockable on third downs from the inside. He just dominates. I mean, this Samson Ebukam sack, which is a great play by Ebukam, but it's created by Arden Key, just absolutely annihilating the play. So to me, those three are playing better. Look, there's details. I don't know if I can go as far as to say this defense is better than 2019. But I do think they're better equipped maybe to handle certain situations than that 2019 defense.
And their run defense is better.
Yeah.
I think they
I agree with that.
Might be forcing. I think they might force more turnovers. At least they have recently. It's like two a game, it seems like. What else?
DJ Jones is healthy. He was not healthy in 2019.
I think they're peaking too. I think they're improving. Whereas that defense played some of its best football in September and October.
Yeah.
And it might be better, man. I don't know if it is better, but it might be. It might. It's in the conversation. It's so good. Yeah. It's surprisingly good. I thought the Packers would score 24. They scored 10. I thought
and they struggled.
The Cowboys would score 30. They scored 16.
And they struggled to move the ball. And the interesting thing is, you know, we talk so much about how the front of the 49ers wrecks games. And it absolutely does. But in coverage, you're talking about Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, two of the more cerebral quarterbacks in the NFL. They were not trusting their eyes all game. Dak Prescott, I went back and watched the film. It's obvious he was not 100% sure of what he was seeing. The Niners' late rotations and just the little changes they were making and just the fact that they were playing a lot of different coverages was getting to him. And Rodgers, just from watching him in the pocket, he did not look like cool, confident, swaggered Aaron Rodgers. It felt like he was double-clutching. He had to take an extra hitch sometimes. Pass rush was getting to him. Their defense is serious. D'Amico Ryans is serious. I think he probably secured the Vikings job after that performance. I don't know how you couldn't give him that job, but.
Nick says, not to sound like a homer, but it's funny how the last three games they've won, the national media talks about the teams that lost, Packers, Dallas. I think that's because the Packers and Dallas are huge teams. It's about who they're beating. If they beat the Cardinals, no one will be talking about the Cardinals.
I mean, look at the Rams. They just beat the Bucs, and they're talking about the Bucs because it's Brady.
Is the 2021 offense better than the 2019 offense?
Yeah. I'm going to have to go to yes.
Why?
So top to bottom, I think they have a better offensive line in terms of their run blocking. I think pass blocking, it's a little bit different, but I think top to bottom, this offensive line has run blocked better, and I think a lot of it is because they have big number 71. He is special. And Alex Mack has played really, really well in the second half of this season. Lakin Tomlinson has been consistently quite good the entire season. Brunskill, you know, he's okay. Tom Compton's been an unbelievable run blocker. Tom Compton cannot block Rashawn Gary. We found that out on Sunday. Though Gary's a very good player, you do have to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I don't think he'll have a lot of success if he's stuck in one-on-one pass block situations against either Leonard Floyd or Von Miller this coming Sunday. But I think they're better from that standpoint. I think their run game is not maybe as diverse as it was in 2019, but I think the element of Deebo Samuel being more prominent in the run game is more special because to me, he's just one of the freakiest, most gifted athletes in the NFL. He's a physical freak. I think Brandon Ayuk may be a marginal or not marginal. I think he's actually just better than Emmanuel Sanders was, at least at 2019 in his career. I think he's better than him. And then George Kittle kind of just evens out George Kittle. I do think it's a better offense. I do think they miss a Kendrick Bourne element. Juwan Jennings has kind of become a version of that, but he's certainly not as good as Bourne was at the end of 2019. I mean, Bourne was good for two third down conversions and a touchdown a game in 2019, especially the second half of that season. And so I think overall, again, it's really close, actually. They're very similar. Jimmy Garoppolo is playing at a very similar level between 2019 and he's playing right now. I just maybe give this offense a hair advantage because, one, I do think they have greater conviction in what they're going to do. And what they're going to do is they're going to be playing around Deebo Samuel. And I think they believe it more. I think they just have a self-belief to them. I think Deebo Samuel just instills a confidence, an aggression, a physicality to this offense that, you know, as good as the 2019 offense was, I didn't feel like they had gone through that adversity, you know, to have this type of just self-belief. But I feel this just rare self-belief from the 49ers offense right now. It's like they don't get down on themselves at all. Even when, you know, you go on the road and the first drive you put together on Lambeau Field against the defense that was more or less kicking your butt, your quarterback throws a terrible interception in the red zone. Nobody wavered. Nobody even felt a second, you know, like of, you know, doubt, like, oh my God, this is Aaron Rodgers, this is Lambeau. And I don't know if I don't think the 2019 offense would have wavered, but I don't know if they would respond the way this offense just continues to respond.
Okay, so going into the playoffs, I was with you here. I was thinking, yeah, this offense is better than it was. It's definitely more talented. You got Debo being used correctly. Ayuk is on fire. But I'm surprised at how bad the offense has been in the first two playoff games. Like, they're averaging 4.8 yards per play.
Mm-hmm.
Two touchdowns, two turnovers. Like, what was it, 23 points in the first one and 13 in the second, and seven of them came for special teams. I'm surprised. And so, to me, the reason I might say it's a little bit worse is Jimmy. Mm-hmm. The fact that Jimmy's really – he's hurt. Like, their quarterback's hurt. Let's put it right there. And I don't know how serious the injury is, but
– No, it's not helping him. It affects him.
Yeah. And I think he's playing at, like – you tweeted about this. I still don't think he's had a good playoff game in his career.
No.
But I do think – I think it's getting worse, man. He had 57 quarterback rating the last game. It was cold, of course. He was playing a good defense.
At least in this game, I give the elements a little bit of something.
That's true.
You know, Rodgers didn't have a great game, and
if they won the game, it wasn't a game for offensive yards per play, which is crazy. Mm-hmm.
And they looked like they weren't going to score a touchdown in that game. Like, even Shanahan said it. Even Shanahan said it
about the offense.
I am not actually.
Okay.
I'm not.
I'm not concerned about Kyle. I'm not concerned about Debo. I'm not concerned about Kittle. But I feel like what's happening with the quarterback is really, I mean, it's the most important player on the – it's the most important position on the team. I think the fact that Kyle – he knows he has to work around Jimmy, but the fact that he doesn't trust Jimmy is really hurting the offense right now because, I don't know, 2 years ago the word wasn't out on Jimmy like that. But now, I mean, everyone knows you still have to stop Debo. And the run game really, despite Elijah and Debo running their asses off, they couldn't get to 4 yards of carry.
Yeah, no, 100%. Although,
yeah, Green Bay.
Yeah, again, I think the Green Bay game weather came into a little bit of it. And to be fair, you know, we get on Garoppolo a lot. Early in this game, I felt like Garoppolo was playing extremely well. I was like, oh, this could be the game he comes out and, you know, Jennings drops a pass. Mm-hmm. Kittle drops a touchdown or what could have been a touchdown. We don't know. It would have been a big play. They had like four drops. And then, you know, he then goes through his lull where he throws a pick. And even when he's checking the ball down, the ball is floating a little bit in the air, causing Troy Aikman to say, these are dangerous passes. One whizzes by Eric Stokes' ear.
Yeah.
One whizzes by Eric Stokes' ear that if he turns his head, maybe who knows what's happening. But luckily, those things didn't happen.
Right.
And he did come down the field on that last two play. And they needed him to make two throws, one to Kittle on a little slant that he had one-on-one against a linebacker. Kittle won. He put it on him. And then the other one, he checked it down to Debo out of the backfield. And so he did make the two throws that they asked him to make. I don't know if this game actually, though the turnover was really bad, if it was actually as bad as, you know, say the Minnesota game from 19. Because the Minnesota game from 19, it felt like you didn't know where the ball was going when he was throwing it, or I felt like he was under control, and I actually didn't feel like he got flustered in this game. I thought he got a little flustered against Dallas. I definitely thought he was flustered in the Super Bowl. I thought he was flustered against Minnesota. I didn't think he got flustered in this game.
That's fair, and he did come through in the final drive, as did the entire offense. But I feel like, you know, we always talk about the different Jimmys, good Jimmy, bad Jimmy. We're starting to learn about playoff Jimmy. And to me, there's a stark difference between playoff Jimmy and regular season Jimmy. And I'm just a little concerned about it because – you know, playoff Jimmy was there 2 years ago, but it was sort of our secret. The rest of the league didn't really know. He hadn't been in that situation before, and they were sort of able to avoid the inevitable until the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. Now, the whole league is like, well, you got to put the game in Jimmy's hands. You got to put the game in Jimmy's hands, and that's tough because he hasn't really done anything to beat that game plan yet. So I guess that's how I would wrap up this spot. They definitely have the potential to be better than their 2019 offense, but it's on him.
And I will say this to fairness to him.
Yeah,
if they play Cincinnati, if they play Kansas City, and when they have to play the Rams, they don't want Jimmy Garoppolo dropping back regardless. It's not just a Jimmy Garoppolo problem. This offensive line would get their, if you put them in a 3rd-and-8, they would get their tails whipped by, you know, Leonard Floyd, Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard, Chris Jones, Frank Clark. It's a bad matchup to drop the 49ers back in general. We saw that early in this game. I mean, again, maybe Jimmy's athleticism has an aspect to it because, you know, he can't really move and he's not the most mobile guy. He's really heavy-footed. But Rashawn Gary was just absolutely destroying Tom Compton. But I also thought Kenny Clark was having his way on pass downs with Laken Tomlinson and Dan Brunskill. So it was a combination of things. The Packers do have a good front. I mean, Z-Smith blew up Laken Tomlinson on a play early in the game, the first sack. The Packers do have a good front. But, look, I think dropping back in general for the 49ers is just a bad idea.
Agree. Okay, we got three more topics, 18 more minutes. I will get to your comments at the end if we have time. Please don't donate. I already said at the beginning. I appreciate you if you did, but please don't. Vish, tell us how the 49ers-Rams, tell us how 49ers-Rams 3 will play out.
To me, this is going to be a really physical football game. I think there's going to be a lot of obvious animosity. I think both teams are going to be super desperate, and you're going to see the desperation in their play. Yeah. I think it's going to be a low-scoring defensive football game. I think the Rams defense is going to come out and kick some butt. I think they're going to have a good plan. I thought they had a good plan in Week 18.
Watch what the Packers did last week.
Run game. I think they're going to want – and they play the same style defense. It's the same style defense.
What the Packers did. Now, you don't have –
they're going to have a good plan. I think they're going to play real lights out on defense. I think Von Miller is going to come to play. I think Leonard Floyd's going to play. I think Aaron Donald's going to play really well. If they get Joseph Day back, that'll be a massive addition to their defense. Maybe Taylor Rapp comes back. I think the Rams defense is going to play really, really well. My issue with this game, and the reason I think that the Niners are once again going to beat the Rams, is I think the Rams offense is in for another day in hell, quote unquote. And I say this because I just don't see, you know, what the Rams offense is going to do. The first half of the Rams offense against the Niners when they did have success Week 18 was about Matthew Stafford dropping back on big third downs and making big time throws from tight pockets to barely open receivers and throwing strikes. Now, if he can do that for four quarters, and then the Rams will win. I don't see any quarterback. I didn't see if Aaron Rodgers couldn't do it. I certainly don't think Matthew Stafford's going to do it, as much as I love the guy. And I think he's fantastic. And, you know, he can win in the playoffs. Look at this. You give him a good team. Whoa, he's 2-0 in the playoffs this year. Who would have seen that coming? Oh wait, I did. But, The funny thing is, I just don't think he's going to be able to do that. And to me, for the Rams to beat the 49ers, they have to be able to run the football. The Rams aren't as creative with the run game as the 49ers. Nope. It's a lot of outside zone, inside zone. That's what they do. Niners just defend that too well. No matter how McVay dresses it up, they're all over this run game. I think the Rams' offensive line has been widely overrated the entire season. I think their center is really bad. Brian Allen, he struggled versus DJ Jones. He struggled versus Nunez Roches and Vita Vea against Tampa. He's going to struggle versus DJ Jones once again. And I think that's what it's going to come down to. I think both teams might score under 20, honestly. But I think the fact that the Niners might be able to grind out a drive and the Rams can't, because whether Cam Akers is back or not, I don't think they can run the football. And if they're not able to run the football, I don't think they can beat the Niners.
I'm with you, man. The only way I see a team beating the Niners at this point is the way Tennessee did it about a month ago. Because I don't think you can score that much. I mean, Dallas and Green Bay have the two best offenses in the league, right? And they just got nowhere. So to me, you shouldn't even think about scoring more than 20 against the Niners. What you're trying to do against the Niners is not turn the ball over.
Right.
The Niners are 1-4 when they can't force a turnover. So you're thinking, if we could just get to 20, if we can score 17 and not turn the ball over, we'll give ourselves a chance, because the Niners actually are mistake-prone on offense. Excuse me. The quarterback is mistake-prone on offense. Like, against Tennessee, the Niners averaged 6.7 yards per play and lost. Tennessee averaged 4.8 yards per play and won. Why? Turnovers. So that's really the Rams. But I don't know if the Rams can do that. The Tennessee averaged 3.8 yards per rush. It's not good, but at least you're like not turn the Rams.
But I also think they can't even Tennessee get to has two. A little more power in their offensive line. Exactly. Guys like Roger Saffold can move people in the run game. Rams don't really move people in the run game. They're not that physical up front. They're light, in fact, up front, offense and defensive lines. That's why they've lost six in a row because they've been getting they've been getting out physical. And to me, I think the Tennessee point is a good one, because for me, if the only thing that's gonna make the Niners do what happened to Tampa, or what happened to the Saints last year when they lost to Tampa, is if Jimmy Garoppolo goes Drew Brees and loses the game for them. And I think he can turn the ball over once and be fine. I'll be okay if he turns it over once. To me, one is okay. Just don't get to 2 and 3.
Because it always evens out. The defense always evens it out. But if it's two. All right. Second to last topic. If the 49ers win the Super Bowl this year, is Jimmy Garoppolo coming back next year?
Yeah, 100%.
Explain that.
I just don't see, like, you saw what happened to the Eagles, right? The kind of, like, first of all, this would be the first Super Bowl for the 49ers in, what, almost 30 years we're talking about. If even if he doesn't play that well, even if he's 150 yards, one interception, the fact that you won a Super Bowl with him instills a different kind of belief with fans, with teammates, with everybody, because you did it with him. I mean, the two examples to me, the first one is the Nick Foles, Carson Wentz. To me, Carson Wentz isn't that good of a quarterback. But what ruined his career in Philadelphia, and I think that he's talked about it, everybody in that Philadelphia media has talked about it, the fact that Foles won a Super Bowl in that city, it felt like he was always pressing, because no matter what, Foles right. was the guy who won the Super Bowl, not him.
And they had never won a Super Bowl start then.
And then the other example is when Garbach replaced Trent Dilfer in Baltimore. Yeah. Yep. And Garbach might have been a better player than Trent Dilfer. I'm not that sure. I was barely alive then. But the point is, I've heard Ray Lewis and Shannon Sharpe talk about this exact situation a couple years back, and they said their team felt like, you know, even though they were ready to repeat, and you know what, Trent might not have been that good, but he just did whatever he needed to do for us to win, man. We felt like we could win with Trent. And
in retrospect, I lived through that. The problem for them was that Garbach sucked. It wasn't that Trent Dilfer actually get. But anyway,
okay, but those are two very good examples.
Those are great.
They describe the situation. So yes. To me,
yes,
what you do is, I mean, if you win a Super Bowl, and I do think that, first of all, I think this team is very much capable of winning the Super Bowl. This is not a hypothetical possibility to me. This is very much in the realm of possibility. To me, I guess you just have to run it back at that point. You run it back because you owe it to yourself to run it back one more year. Jimmy Garoppolo only has one more year left on his contract at that point. You see how far it goes. Maybe the season turns into another 2020. He gets hurt again. Now, he got hurt this year. He got hurt in 2018. He got hurt in 2020. Even if he wins a Super Bowl at that point, you can make a clean break because you can say, hey, he got hurt. That's it. And you still have 2 years of Trey Lance on his rookie deal. But I can't fathom a team moving off a guy you just won a Super Bowl with, even if he does a little bit to win the Super Bowl. Because at that point, to me, like, winning a Super Bowl and then changing quarterbacks, to me, that's shocking. To me, it puts an excessive amount of pressure on Trey Lance. No matter how well he plays, it'll be all about being able to win the Super Bowl. And I don't know if there's a person that can live up to that pressure, no matter how good they are or how poised they are. Because, like, imagine coming into a job after the person before you just achieved the best possible thing in that thing.
You're right. I think you're absolutely. Yeah. I think you're right. Also, I don't think the locker room would accept it if they got rid of Jimmy. At a certain point, the locker room has a say in this. My question to you is: all right, you made a great case. I'm not arguing with you. What if he loses the Super Bowl?
Yeah, then I think it becomes a little bit tougher, right? Because they said barring a Super Bowl run, not winning or losing the Super Bowl, Ian Rappaport
a run.
Said, the Niners or
getting
will...
the Super Bowl is a run. Yep.
Yeah, that was what Ian Rappaport said.
That's
right?
A lot of pressure on Trey too, right? Like, hey, we lost the Super Bowl, but the expectation is that you're now going to win the Super Bowl in your first
year. Right, you're going to have to run it back.
You're gonna win the Super Bowl.
To me, that's an excessive amount of pressure. Honestly, it's really hard to answer that one, because losing the Super Bowl, it could feel the same way you felt after losing in 2019, because it might be, oh, we felt like we could have won that game.
So TBD. You know, TBD on if he makes it. That one, what if he loses this weekend?
Even if he loses this weekend, again, it has a lot to how it looks. How they lose has a lot to do with it. Who's healthy, which we will find out now in 10 minutes. That will have something to do with it, because that'll also have something to do with who wins. I don't know, man. Honestly, I'm not 100% certain. I'm not even 100% sure of what's happening in the playoffs, because logic says the 49ers should be winning again. The way they're winning with their quarterback throwing for 140
yards. Well, they had divine intervention in Green Bay. I was there. I saw it. God actually stuck his hand down and blocked the punt. It wasn't Jordan Willis. It was God. I was there. It was divine intervention. I saw it.
You can't tell me. Oh, it was God coming as Jordan Willis, huh?
It was the hand of God who came down and blocked. I was there. I saw God do it. It was
okay. Okay. I was the only person who saw it. Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. But
it was the hand of God. He's a big Niner fan.
The fact that this is happening to me, I believe in whatever magic pixie dust Jimmy Garoppolo has. There's something about Jimmy, him.
Man, when Debo returned that took the 3rd and 27 for whatever that's when I was like, this is crazy, man. This is something's happening here. The planets are aligning for this team. That doesn't happen in football, not in the NFL. Vish, we got one topic left. We got 9 minutes. I'd like to do lightning round on some of these comments, but we have 9 minutes left in the show. Will the Niners make one final run at Aaron Rodgers this offseason?
Yeah.
How is that going to go down? Explain that.
I don't know how it's going to go down. I don't know what's going to happen with the Rodgers situation. All I know is that a day before the draft, they did call and inquire about him, and they were just about to draft their future franchise after trading 3 first-round picks.
Hold on real quick.
They were like, wait a minute.
Aaron, hold on real quick. Hold on. The Niners just moved it back to 3. The Niners always do this, man. They're like, it's 3:30. Wait, no, it's 2:15. Just kidding, it's 3. So hold on, we can relax for a second. Let's start it over. Sorry, I just want to let you know, we're not pressed for time. Will the Niners make one final run at Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, their history says they will. Okay. I don't know if they'll acquire Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what you mean by a run, because a run might be as simple as just making a call, inquiring what the situation's about.
A phone call, yeah.
Yeah, and I think they will. I think they will do their due diligence on it. There's no doubt about it. Whether Garoppolo wins a Super Bowl or not, we're talking about the back-to-back reigning MVP of the league. That's the assumption. He's going to win the MVP again. Great, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. The quarterback, to me, if you pair with Kyle Shanahan, they would win the Super Bowl every year. That's just my opinion. I know that people don't like Aaron Rodgers. A lot of people would disagree. I just look at that level of player with that level of play caller, and I say, how do you not win the Super Bowl? To me, that would be – they would dominate the league in ways like – I think they would be so dominant together. I don't think they will acquire Aaron Rodgers. I'll say that. I say no way Green Bay trades him to the 49ers.
What would the package be that the 49ers would trade? I mean, they've
– exactly.
It would have to include Trey Lance, right, because he's their first
– yeah.
He's their – there's the – he's – I can't speak, but he is the first-round
pick. He's their next 3 yeah. first-round picks.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so where do you – what else do you trade? Yeah, what else do you trade? Yeah.
Yeah, so – yeah, I mean,
that's kind of where they'll offer Trey, they'll offer Jimmy.
Like, I don't think they'll even make an offer. I think they'll make an inquiring call. Packers probably will say they're not trading him to the Niners, but I don't see how they wouldn't inquire about Aaron Rodgers, because just a year ago, I don't know what was so different from the circumstances, and they still called the night of before or the night of the draft to make sure that.
Do you think Rodgers will get out of Green Bay?
I have no clue.
Okay, fair.
He sounded he was at a dark mental place after that game. He was in shock that they lost, it looked like.
He was always in a dark mental place, man. He's the most emo quarterback in the league. And it was funny, I was saying on the cone phone earlier today, but this dude has a bad reputation in Wisconsin, at least from the people I was talking to. Anyone I met from Wisconsin, I was like, so what do you think of Aaron Rodgers? They're like, he's a jerk. Like, really? He's like, oh yeah, total jerk. He's from around here. Jeez, man, you need to work on your people skills, man. No one likes you. I'm saying
I'm not shocked by that.
I'm not shocked by it either. But there's no one like, yeah. Oh yeah, I know. He's super nice, super really down to earth. He's like, nah, no one says those things about him. Anyway, so yeah, the Aaron Rodgers saga, it'll continue. Good luck in school, Vish. Some new technologies you should pick up are Dataspell, Streamlit, and Plotly. I have no idea what those
are. I'll check them out. Thank you, HR.
Harsh Doshi says, is Kyle in danger of doing to Debo what happened to RG3, overworking him? And an injury that sets back a promising career. I hope it doesn't go that way. I don't know. To me, he's built like a
running
back.
I don't think he overworked RG3. They had the best way to win, and that was that way with Robert Griffin. It's not his fault that Robert Griffin's dad wanted to turn him into Peyton Manning, which he wasn't. And in terms of Debo, to me, look, his objective is to win football games. At this moment, the 49ers cannot win football games unless Debo Samuel is touching the ball 15 times in a game. So you have to manage to get him 15 touches. It's win or go home.
And so they're undefeated when he gets 6 carries, yeah. So he has to do that too. I mean, because here's the thing. He's a great wide receiver, but their quarterback has an interception percentage of 5 right now in the playoffs. So throwing to Debo is risky. Handing off to Debo is not. You got to do it. Got to do it. You can't take Debo out of the game because you don't trust your quarterback.
And he sets up the physical element we talk about, the 49ers dominating these games physically. A lot of it is set up by the fact that Debo Samuel, I talked about it last week. I said he's the leader of this team. And it's not that he's the most vocal leader. He's the one who speaks like the leader. But he's the emotion of this team. He's the heart and soul of this team. That physical tone is set by Debo Samuel. And so to me, they have to get him the ball. I don't know what else you're supposed to do if you're Kyle Shanahan.
Agree. Words of wisdom. Thank you. David Butler says, I think the cold affected the O-line more than any other group. Compton looked like his old self.
Compton was just not put in a situation over the last few weeks to look like his old self. They protected him a lot. They saved him from a lot of one-on-one pass pros. They were really good about it. And then finally, he was put in one-on-one situations. Rashawn Gary's a really, really good player.
The Packers have really good edge rushers, 3 of them. Not 3 starting caliber ones, but 3 like upper level edge rusher. That's a hell of a defense. And they're their not going to get credit because they lost. But they gave up 6 points. I mean, they outplayed the Niners defense.
And I don't believe the Niners would have scored a touchdown if the special teams did score a touchdown. I don't even know if they would have punched it in for the five. Kyle Shanahan wasn't even sure about it. He said, I didn't want to call plays. I was hoping they would take it in.
We haven't talked about the Packers because, honestly, like, who cares? But, like, they have Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, and that defense, and lost in the first round because of special teams. Nice. Nice. You gotta love that, man. If the Niners did something like that, I would have so much fun. I wish I could cover something like that. But anyway, have fun, Green Bay writers. I don't think they're gonna really rub it in either. They're all like deferential in Green Bay because they won the Super Bowl a million years ago. But I don't know. MILF Hunter says everyone forgot Kinlaw and D4 on the ride.
I don't know what's gonna happen with Kinlaw, but Eric Armstead should be the starting three technique for this team next year. There's no doubt about it. And DJ Jones is probably those three guys. Jones, Williams, and Tart are three free agents. We've talked about it ad nauseum. They have to bring those three guys back. Those three guys are so good. So I don't know what happens to Javon Kinlaw because he's hella talented. But right now,
I got Vish saying hella, everyone. I got Vish saying hella. Yeah, that's great. I love that. hey, you know, I asked D'Amico about Armstead. I was like, is that his new home, three tech? And he would not say so. He's like, he's a really good defensive end, too. He's good at both places. I was like,
yeah.
D'Amico.
I mean, it's like Chris Jones, right? Kansas City, they didn't have edge rushers this year. They moved Chris Jones outside. Chris Jones was a really good player outside. Chris Jones is a game wrecker in the interior. He's after Aaron Donald, the most disruptive interior defensive line. The last 8 games of this season, Eric Armstead has played at a level that's in the Chris Jones, in the Aaron Donald. Like with those guys, he's played like that.
He's playing like they paid him to play. I totally agree. And as long as they have Samson Ebukam, Jordan Willis, Menahu, Bosa, there's no reason to play Armstead on the edge. Zero. No reason to do this.
Even if you don't have those guys to me on the edge, Armstead has proven over a large enough sample size that he's not only a good player on the inside, he's a game wrecker. It doesn't matter. To me, you put your best players in the best spots, they have to succeed. Even if you put, you know, me and you on the edge, Eric Armstead is going to dominate inside. So why would you move him by the edge so you can have an average interior player and Eric Armstead is an above average edge player? Why not have a game wrecker interior defensive lineman? And honestly, the way I see it, and you said this about but what you thought the defensive line should have been, it should have been Bosa and Buckner, and then you could get a bunch of guys because Sarah coaches them up, and because they play next to both Bosa and Buckner, they would play
right now.
Well, it's happening right now. Bosa and Armstead. Yes, yeah,
absolutely. And to Niner Nottebot's point, remember when Grant was hating on the Arden Key deal because it wasn't a high-profile Von Miller trade that the Rams did? I do remember that. And what I've learned, what we were just talking about, is clearly the Niners should keep shopping in the bargain bin on the defensive line because Kostrick's eye and ability to maximize the talent. I mean, they can bring back Kerry Hyder next year, who did nothing for Seattle this year, and he'd be great for the Niners next. You already know.
And what you guys perceive as hate from Grant is actually motivation. He's hoping so that DJ
Where would they Reed be without my quality side. Control nitpicking? I don't know. Hard to say. Troy says, I hope the drop passes by Kittle, Ayuk, and Jennings was because of cold weather. Hopefully this won't happen indoors at SoFi. Dude, I mean,
yeah,
there were some drops.
Yeah,
they were really mad.
I'm shocked actually they didn't go back to Ayuk at any point in the game. At any point, get him involved in the game. Yeah, but he blocked his ass off.
Did he? Certainly did. Can't wait to see the stadium filled with Niner fans. Don't they know that most will have resale tickets and those rules don't apply? LOL. It's gonna be filled with Niner fans. People don't care about football in LA. I live there. It's way low on the list of things people care about. I'm saying. The Rams, that's a St. Louis team anyway. I mean, they were
St. Louis domes. I remember it used to be rocking.
Yeah, did they like? They actually liked the Rams in St. Louis. They won a Super Bowl there. Then they brought them back to LA, where people were like, "We're Laker fans." California knows how to party. California knows how to party. Grant with the people's eyebrow. Bang bang, Niner gang. I'm trying to work on the people's eyebrow. The one eyebrow at a time.
Up, one down.
Stafford is like Jimmy. He will keep us in the game.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I thought Stafford played really well against the Niners in the first game. The Rams can really say, look, we beat ourselves. We were up 17-0. We gave them 3 points before the half, and then we you know, do what we do. But if they can just, I don't know. If I keep coming back to that third and one, McVay should say, it's my fault. That was a coaching blunder. I won't do that again. Give me a 17-point lead, and I will come through for you guys. That's what he should say.
Yeah, 100%. They can say they did a lot of things right. Yeah. But even if they get a lead again, they
can't run.
They can't run the football.
They can't run the ball.
And that's a problem. They're not a running football team. They can't run the football. Nope. They don't run the football well. They do stick to the running game, but they at this point, to me, like, I'll go back and see the Bucs game. They might have gotten 22, 23 runs. Yeah, I agree. Ever since they got rid of Saffold, actually.
Because they used to be able to dominate in the run game with C.J. Anderson. Now it's like, it doesn't matter who you got back there. You're soft. Julio says, I think 2021 offense is slightly better than the 2019 offense, only because Kyle finally realized that he was not utilizing Deebo how he should have. I agree. Problem is Jimmy, man. The book is – it's not that Jimmy's different. It's that the book is out on Jimmy. That's what I think the difference is. Jimmy's the same, but the game plan against him is so specific.
Yeah. No, but yeah. I just can't bet against Jimmy at this point, because I said 2 weeks ago, if they beat Dallas in Dallas, I think they're going to the Super Bowl. And then I kind of went back on it because I said, well, Green Bay is, you know, the best team in the NFL, beating them in Lambeau. Said if they beat Green Bay in Lambeau, to me, that's the best team in the NFL.
They have the defense to win a Super Bowl. This is about defense right now. They have the defense to win a championship, no question about it. But if they do, we got to give the defense major credit, because it's becoming more and more rare in the NFL to win a Super Bowl with defense. And the Niners are making a run. They could do it. Their defense is legit. It's that
especially
good.
A defense that didn't dominate the entire season top to bottom. You know, the Legion of Boom was the best defense in the NFL from week one to week.
Dude, they gave up 31 to Colt McCoy, man. And that ever since then, they've been on a freaking tear. They really have. Grant, MJ, Vish, Scotty, y'all dream team. K1, mad underrated. Respect his name. K1 is really good. He comes through. He gets beat in man-to-man coverage, but he usually doesn't give up big plays, and he evens it out.
He's great in zone. He's a terrific run defender as a nickel. I mean, I need my man Dante Johnson to get some love, too. Dante Johnson's been the superstar backup for the 49ers in the secondary this year.
If I were to tell you that the Niners are going to go to Green Bay before the season and play a playoff game with Dante Johnson and Tom Compton starting and they'd win, you'd be like, shut up. Shut up. You're a fan. I don't even know you anymore.
Yeah. No, but Johnson is all-pro backup in the secondary because he's a great special teamer. He plays all five spots for them. He plays strong safety, free safety, both corner spots, nickel. He's very assignment sound and does his job. I mean, he has specific physical limitations, and that's why he will get beat at times. But you don't expect Dante Johnson to be a starter, but his contributions as a backup for the 49ers this year has been, like, remarkable.
Totally validated.
Oh,
we used to joke, like, why are Dante Johnson and Tom Compton on this team? Oh, because they're really good backups. Sorry, Tom and Dante. What is the status of Ambry, though? I do not think I trust Johnson against Kupp. Also, this will be a close game, low-scoring game. We agree. We'll find out about Ambry in an hour. That's 3 o'clock. Kyle talks.
Sorry. I mean, I don't trust anybody on Cooper Kupp. That dude's going to get open on everybody.
He's really good. I respectfully disagree, Vish. I don't think he will want to come back due to his relationship with Kyle being broken for a while. Maybe trade.
Who would that be? Jimmy.
I don't know about that.
To me, if you win a Super Bowl, I think everybody's relationship is all good.
That's true. All of a sudden, mended fences, all that good stuff. There's some more. Hold on. We got Vish for a few more minutes. Even if Jimmy wins the Super Bowl, would the 49ers go after A-Rod? Didn't they refuse Tom Brady when he wanted to come here?
Yeah, but it's true. But they considered it. Grant's question wasn't would they go after him, would they consider it? I said basically they would call and inquire. They did the same thing about Brady. I wouldn't be shocked if they do that about Rodgers. I don't think they'll acquire Rodgers. Absolutely not. Heck, I don't think Green Bay would trade Rodgers to the 49ers. No way. But I think they'll call.
Finally could catch Mondays with Vish. Love the show, y'all. Thank you, Jacob. Justin says, who would be more poised and calm, Jimmy or Matt? He asked this earlier. Who's going to throw more picks? Who's going to be more poised and calm in this game?
I think
Matt's better than Jimmy. Let's put it that way. Matt is better than Jimmy. But Jimmy has a running game. So,
I mean, Stafford looked pretty poised. He looked lights out. He knew where to go with the football in both the games he's played. He's looked He's looked like the Matthew Stafford I would have wanted. And that's kind of the weird, like, dichotomy of this game for me, because, like, obviously I want the 49ers to win. I want them to go to the Super Bowl. But if they don't win, then, like, there's also a part of me that's like, see, well, I told you, if you got Matthew Stafford in the offseason, you would go to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And the Rams just got Matthew Stafford in the offseason, that'll go to the Super Bowl. I mean, it still won't feel good. Like, I'll still, like, feel, like, horrible because the Niners lost. Like, there's that sickening feeling, Grant. You don't know because you're not a fan. There's, like,
I remember it.
Yeah, it's awful. And I'm going to feel – I know I'm going to feel that if the Niners lose at any point this season. I felt it during the regular season when they lost. Like, I've never been more disappointed as a fan when the first game in Levi Stadium was I had to watch – them lose to Colt McCoy. Like, that was, oh my God, that was gut-wrenching. Like, man, I spent this money. Yeah. I flew out to California. I got to see the Niners in person, and they lose to Colt McCoy. God, man. And then that was, like, the turning point of their season, because since then they've been unreal. But so maybe it was my, you know, bad juju at the stadium that day, but at least, you know, I'll take credit for the turnaround.
Niner fans are going to pay to keep you in Chicago this weekend for sure. Rob says they got to re-sign Rodgers. Both Smith and Adams, they are already $45 million over next season.
Yeah.
No, I don't think the Niners should go for A-Rod. I think that he would want to come to – I think he would want to come to SF, but we have Trey. Just play the kid. If only the Niners felt that way. Is Jimmy G Trent Dilfer 2.0 with the same type of dominant defense? Kittle is Shannon Sharp 5.0. Thoughts?
I don't know.
Jimmy G's better than Trent Dilfer was in the – Trent Dilfer stunk in the regular
season. Jimmy G's just better than Trent Dilfer, in my opinion.
And Trent Dilfer, when he won the Super Bowl, actually stopped throwing picks. Jimmy is weird. Like, this whole become a super interception machine in the playoffs is weird. I don't know who else – Eli didn't do that. This is Jimmy. I don't know what this is. And it's still
– Niners have a better overall offense than those style teams. They have a better overall offense than the Broncos team that won with Peyton Manning on his last legs. They have a better overall offense. They have a real run game that's special.
They do.
I mean, I'd say the big thing – I also think their defense isn't at the level of those teams. I never feel like the Niners defense can score points themselves. I always feel like if you go back and look at those great defenses, Legion of Boom, no fly zone, 2000 Ravens, 2002 Bucks. The one thing they all had in common was that their defense scored points. Niners defense does not score points as good as they are. So I don't know if you can put their defense at that level, but yeah.
This offseason could be a shit show, and it could be off a Super Bowl victory. Damn it. Haha. Thank you, Kroenke. Would be a nice second home in LA. It's always good to have a second home in LA. I wish I had a first home. But if I do, then I'm going to get a second home in LA for sure.
The funny thing is, if they win the Super Bowl, like, we're all ecstatic. But then the entire thought process of this offseason becomes as much a conversation as it was last season when they didn't even go to the playoffs. Because now we have different variables to discuss. Now, should we play Trey Lance? Should we not play Trey Lance? All of this becomes way more interesting because they're the reigning Super Bowl champions.
Oh, yes.
And you get the euphoria of winning the Super Bowl, but then you also get this, like, content of having to discuss, like, 17 different details and speculate about it, because they will have, like, 10 different decisions to make, and they'll have to do it after winning a Super Bowl.
Also, I think everyone thinks I root against the Niners, and it's fun to, like, critique them and look at their faults and stuff, but my career would there'd be so many more Niner fans if they won a Super Bowl. Are you kidding me? So I wouldn't really complain. Tell Vish about the Jimmy box. I forget. It was during the cone phone. It was like there's a box on the field and you only have to defend inside the box for the passes and outside the box. And I forget exactly what it was. I'm sorry, but it was funny. I'll have to go back and review it. Yeah, I'm sorry. The Jimmy box. Can someone remind me what the Jimmy box was? I don't want to butcher the box. I wanted Tampa versus the Rams four straight times this year. Three straight makes me super nervous. I don't want the Rams to have the last laugh. I don't get this. Everyone's like, it's really hard to beat a team three times in a row. They've beaten the Rams six times in a row. So
I think they would have struggled versus Tampa.
I think they would have struggled versus Tampa. Yeah.
I think Rams are a much better matchup. Like, look, I think the Niners defense would have had a good game against Tampa's offense. I think Brady Gronk maybe make one or two plays. Niners offense would struggle versus Tampa Bay's defense. Tampa Bay's defense was back being fully healthy.
Yeah.
They are monsters against the run. They would load the box. They would give the Niners major – major issues in the run game. And then the other thing is Devin White, Lavonte David, these guys are opportunistic. They will force turnovers.
Yes.
And that's an even bigger problem for the Niners.
The Niners really lucked out. And the way things are going, they're going to beat the Rams and then get the Bengals in the Super Bowl.
And they avoid the cross-country trip because now after Lambeau,
you fly
back and then you got to fly cross-country again. It would have been like I would have picked Tampa to win that game. Now you get to go back to California, division opponent. Bloodbath. Niners are physically battle tested. As long
now
as
you're like, just don't be overconfident. Don't be overconfident. You know, don't tell yourself that you own the Rams, considering that you do own the Rams. Just pretend that you don't own the Rams. Pretend you don't.
And then own them again.
Yeah, and then own them again. Exactly. That's as a coach. That's what your speech this week is. You know, forget the fact that we've won six in a row. That's all you got to say.
It's crazy. Like in my lifetime as a Niners fan. We got to go through, you know, the Pete Carroll, Jim Harbaugh, and that was kind of its own rivalry to go with the two most physical teams in the NFL. And now we have these two teams that are really physical, but they're also, like, different from those teams because they have, like, these modern offenses filled with creativity and a bunch of superstars on both sides of the ball. And then you get to see them with the Shanahan-McVay dynamic in the NFC Championship. That's incredible.
Can we get a one for Jimmy if we win the Super Bowl? Would the Niners do it? That's two questions. Can we get one for Jimmy if they win the Super Bowl?
Win the Super Bowl?
Depends on how, I guess. Because so far right now, he hasn't changed anything about his game, but he has two games left to do something.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. I thought I originally said yes. I think the fact that, you know, depending on how he does it, because it's not like,
If he throws five touchdowns in the Super Bowl and does what Steve Young did against the Chargers, then hell yeah, absolutely. But, like, I don't
think they would trade him.
I don't see that happening, but yeah. Funny things happen in sports. Get pressure on that.
Peter King did say that he thinks they could, so who knows?
Nice. Get pressure on Stafford consistently. Defense wins championships. I think that's kind of what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's what is going to happen, yeah.
I like Stafford a lot, but he's just not – he has the arm of Josh Allen, but he doesn't have the youth and mobility of Allen to get away from this pass rush, and I think you really need that.
Him, Rodgers, Brady at this point, they're all pocket. Dak even, they're all mobile in the pocket. They create space in the pocket. They navigate the pocket really well.
Right.
But usually that's good when you're facing a team with one good edge rusher, not with three guys collapsing the pocket. Then you have to be
Josh Allen running around for 10 minutes.
And
avoid a couple of sacks in the process. And I think Allen can do that. I think Mahomes can do that. Kyler can do that. There's not that many dudes who can do that, though. Trey can do it. I actually think Trey's very good at avoiding pressure. But we don't need to talk about him right now. Jimmy G is – some Niner fans get mad when you talk about him. Like, why are we talking about the backup? I'm sorry. I won't bring up his name. Jimmy is doing the best Trent Dilfer impersonation on his way out. He may not be on his way out, man. Don't jinx it. We all need to not talk about that for a while just so we don't jinx it. Jimmy is a handoff specialist. That's why he's starting this about the timing. He's very good. He's very good. I agree with you. The timing of the handoff is just – perfect.
It's the magic pixie dust, man. They win with him. I bought into the magic pixie dust. If they go to the Super Bowl again with him, which is what I think is going to happen, and I think they have a really good shot of winning the Super Bowl, like magic to do it dust. Twice with a guy being what he was in two playoff games last time, which was one touchdown, and then now you do it again in these playoffs. Like, are you kidding me? To do it
After the game, I really was like, what is the contribution of Jimmy Garoppolo here? And it's funny to hear the team talk about, you know, he just instills so much confidence and calmness in us. Like, really? How? He not in us, not in your fan base, but you. Oh, well, that's great. Jimmy rarely throws a pass away when he throws an interception. Why isn't Kyle taking care of this? That's a weird one, man. How many times do you remember Jimmy throwing a ball away out of bounds?
Not many. Not many.
Can't even like bring up.
But I don't know how many times he drops back for you to, you know, talk about throwaways and stuff. When he's throwing the ball, usually he's on situations where he has to make a throw. It's third down, third and four.
True.
Like, why is he going to throw the ball away on third and four?
Yeah, but why are you going to throw the ball right to that DB in the end zone against?
Yeah, that was, I don't know if that was his thumb or that was his shoulder. Like, because it wasn't even that bad a decision. It was just a god awful throw. Like, it was wide open. It was just such a bad throw.
But he was late. Often, also, when Kyle Shanahan, you say, like, so what'd you tell Jimmy about that interception? What was your coaching point? He always says, you know, take the sack or throw it away. You never see him throw it away. So what kind of coaching point is that? Like, I've never seen him throw a ball away. I can't remember him ever throwing a ball away. He's probably done it four times, maybe 10. But I can't remember him. Can you give me a game in the, if you were watching this game, because there's 3,000 people. If someone can remember him throwing a ball away, I would love someone to just point it out because I can't do it, and I watch all of his snaps. What do y'all think of putting Trent Williams in motion? Seemed like a poor call on fourth down instead of sneaking more. Kyle thinking himself, I didn't like the call, no. But you say that there was a lane. No?
Yeah, they had it set up. He just didn't see the lane. It was blocked to the edge. If he follows Trent Williams, that's a first down, maybe even a touchdown.
My issue was that it was the same exact play that you called earlier in the game that you had never called before, and it seemed like. But also, to your point, that has to go to Debo. And with the game on the line, they made the adjustment, so.
Yeah. Mitchell's a good player, but this team is going to live and die by Debo Samuel. I think that's how it should be.
It's how it should be. It shouldn't live and die by the rookie. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, it would be it would be like the 2012 49ers living and dying by Michael Crabtree instead of living and dying by Frank Gore or Vernon Davis.
That's right. Garoppolo needs to have a ball-out game like the one against the Saints. Oh, man. Bingo card. Bring up the Saints game. I love you, NorCal Trocas.
Dude.
He owes it to us for all of his F-ups. I'm a Jimmy Garoppolo hater, but I think this is the game for him. He's hurt, man.
I don't think it's this one.
Oh, no.
I think the Super Bowl, if they go to the Super Bowl, I think this one he's going to struggle. If they go to the Super Bowl, I could totally see it because I believe in the magic pixie dust now. Yeah. In classic Jimmy fashion, he just lights it up in the Super Bowl.
After just stumbling his way there and being no part of the reason that they're in the game, boom, he's the MVP.
And I will continue to eat my crow on Jimmy Garoppolo because his career just baffles me. I don't understand the results.
Have you seen Forrest Gump?
Actual play.
Have you seen Forrest Gump?
Bits and pieces.
Okay. It's a little bit before your time anyway. Forrest Gump was just kind of like this, I guess you call him an idiot savant. He wasn't necessarily brilliant, but everything he did, he ended up being successful in. Everything. And there'd be a little bit of like luck involved, but he was on the football team at Alabama. He was a great soldier in Vietnam. He was a great ping pong player. He got rich in something in the eight. Anyway, there's a little bit of Forrest Gump to Jimmy Garoppolo. It's like, I don't know how he stumbles into all the success that he does, but look at him. He's doing it again. He's doing it again. Look at him go. Anyway, if you ever see Forrest Gump, be like, oh, is that Jimmy? It might be. If we win the Super Bowl, it would be the best opportunity to trade Jimmy for a second rounder. You will not get a better offer for him than that. Thoughts? Yeah, agree. But the Yorks will put their foot down, at that point.
You had dinner with Mama Ayuk?
Who told you that? Who told you that?
Oh, so it's true.
About. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Ziggy said,
Grant didn't.
Hey, Grant, been listening to you for a while. My respect for you went up tremendously when you said some people don't want to accept a black quarterback. Yeah, I mean, I that's the way I feel about it. But I think a lot of people do.
I think there is something to this. And it's because I'm going to go somewhere that, sometimes it really irritates me. But When you tweet about Garoppolo on Twitter, I see people always want to throw the injuries about it. You're not considering the fact that he's injured. One thing that bothers me a little bit on Twitter is when it comes to the discourse of Colin Kaepernick and his play in 15 and 16, which is what people really say. Well, he was really bad. He had three surgeries after 2015, that offseason. Yeah, he played with a torn labrum in 2015. He had issues in his knee. He had issues also in his finger. Not a soul ever brings up the fact that Colin Kaepernick played 2015 injured and says, that had something to do with maybe his play. But here we are every time.
But now Jimmy's got a thumb or a shoulder, and it's like, oh, my God. It's different. It's a different – I don't know what I'm – what I'm saying? It's a different scale. It's a different scale. Absolutely. No excuses if you're a super – anyway, I'm just saying. Anyway. Do you think Shanahan has a vendetta to settle with McVay in this game because he probably feels Stafford was stolen from him?
If he goes to the Super Bowl without Stafford, what do you think Shanahan is thinking?
Yeah. I swear watching Jimmy play reminds me of Tim Tebow, both subpar quarterbacks, but they win. Jimmy just has a stubborn head coach that refuses to bench him. I mean, yeah, their skill sets are opposite, but like the end result, that was Tebow like 58 minutes of bad football and then, okay, you're the hero. Okay.
He's way better. But he does have like a Tebow magic about him where late in the game, Jimmy Garoppolo, here he comes.
It doesn't matter. Literally doesn't matter what he did the first 58 minutes. It has no bearing on what's going to happen the last 2 minutes of the game.
Right.
Yeah. We got Vish for one more minute, then I got to let him go. On what does Jimmy throw the most picks? On what?
Stuff on what middle? Down? On what down? Down? I think that's I think that's actually a good point because he does throw a lot of first and second down interceptions, which isn't great. And it looks like Grant's press conference got once again moved back up.
Are you kidding? No, three. We're good at three. No, no, no. You like to get capped it off at an hour. I don't want to take you.
Your face went like, oh my God. And you went like,
I'm trying to get the answer to his question, the interceptions by down. Hold on.
So he's got an alarming amount of interceptions on first and second down though. I'll say that.
Okay. So this year this is Jimmy on first down, 7 touchdowns, 5 picks on second down, 5 touchdowns, 3 picks on third down, 6 touchdowns, 4 picks. So he's not super great with the TD INT ratio on any down. He's more of a completion percentage yards per attempt guy in terms of his rating because of the offense that he's in. I'm sorry. Matthew says, how much on earth? Man, I'm tripping. How on earth can Jimmy Garoppolo keep pace with Mahomes? That's true. Last time, Bills had number one D in the league. Mahomes can neutralize the pass rush. Again, I think the Niners have the number one D in the league right now. I saw the Bills defense. I like the Niners defense a little bit better right now. But yeah. I think Jimmy's going to have – they're going to have to get more on offense.
The Niners defense is more physical than the Bills defense. They're just better. I tweeted this out. Yeah. The only defense that actually maybe could have come close was Tampa because Tampa's, when fully healthy, is a menace.
I know Steelers fans who desperately want Jimmy. Are you serious? Wow.
I wouldn't be shocked by that.
Good for the Niners. Mahomes threw it away before the half. 3 points mattered. Yeah, he threw it away. He threw it away. It's amazing. I gotta ask Kyle about that. How come, Kyle?
I mean,
has Mahomes ever thrown the ball away?
But comparing any quarterback to Mahomes is like, yeah, he's God.
He's Jimmy God. Stands for Gump. Nailed it, Grant. He's Jimmy Gump. I swear, man. If you ever watch that movie, you're gonna know what I'm talking about. He is just crazy good luck. When I saw the Cap series, I swear I was naive about the black quarterback, but it opened my eyes. And the NFL is still super racist. Yeah, Kaepernick is very smart. He's my age. He was an AP student. He's hella smart. And his perception of the NFL and the world of football, I thought, was very interesting. I mean, he lived it. He really lived it. And he had a lot of interesting insights. From body of work of the team that I've seen, I don't think Jimmy would win a Super Bowl MVP. It would likely be someone else.
Yeah, but with the last Super Bowl they played in, Nick Bosa had one of the greatest Super Bowls ever for a defensive lineman. And everybody still harps on the fact that if it wasn't for that one throw to Emmanuel Sanders, Garoppolo would have been the Super Bowl MVP. He played like the Super Bowl MVP for the first 3.5 quarters of that game. But heck no. Nick Bosa was the best player on the field.
Thank you. Grant, I dare you to wear a Jimmy jersey if the Niners win the Super Bowl. Deal? No, absolutely not. In my room, while no one's looking, man, I wouldn't pay for it. If you pay for it, I might wear
Grant
it.
Grant secretly got one. He'll be wearing it after the Super Bowl because everybody thinks he's a fan. Actually, I have people ask me, yo, is Grant – he's got to be a fan, right?
He's a fan. Right?
He's a fan.
If you only knew. No. Chiefs versus Niners rematch. Heart tells me Niners, but brain says I don't trust Jimmy versus Mahomes. If you make it to the Super Bowl and lose the Chiefs again, anything is possible, but I couldn't. I'm telling you, the way this is going, it's going to be Niners-Bengals. I'm telling you. I don't know why.
Hey, it's just gonna work out. I'm telling you, if the Bengals go into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs, that Bengals team, oh my God.
True. How worried were you, when they put Norman, both, when they put Norman and Aaron Tessin? Phew, keep him? No. Norman, thank you for everything, but let's not tempt fate a second time. That was good. That was it. Hopefully that's the end. When Jimmy throws it away, he was trying for an interception and missed. Says ancient.
Well, I mean, he did throw it away actually in the Super Bowl. Wasn't that a throwaway? Brashad Breeland's interception, the eyes closed throw it away, the one that's become an absolute meme.
Oh, yeah. He was trying, just couldn't get it there. Jimmy drives me crazy, but right now Trey is not ready. We need Jimmy, quick release. Some way he gets it done on third down, and here he is on final drives. He just makes the 49ers confident. He makes the rest of the team play better. They need him.
Nobody knows how he gets it done sometimes because it just shouldn't add up in the modern NFL. I mean, you see Josh Allen have a historic performance for a quarterback, and he's already at home. He had one of the great playoffs we've ever seen from a quarterback, and it was just two games. And here we are with Jimmy Garoppolo, whose total playoff numbers barely add up to, or don't even add up to, Josh Allen's numbers in one playoffs. And he continues to just keep plugging along and winning. I'm telling you, the pixie dust is real, Grant. He has the magic pixie dust.
Brady gave a little bit to him.
Brady should have saved some of it, because Brady needed some of the pixie dust yesterday. He needed one more, you know, magical fumble slash crazy play to happen for them to win. He just gave it all to Jimmy, and Jimmy's using the pixie dust right now.
Well, Trey better get some of that. Forrest Gump was a war hero. Jimmy is just rich. That's true. Forrest Gump was a war hero. That's a good point. That is a good point. Is the Niners secondary better than people think? Seems like we got a lot of coverage sacks.
Their safeties are special.
Mosley's good too, though.
Mosley's fantastic.
He was out for a large portion of the season. People forget.
Yeah.
How is Blake coping with the Packers loss?
He's doing okay. He ran for my calls on Saturday night, talked to me on Sunday morning. He's doing okay. It's disappointing. I think my roommate's a Packers fan, and I watched the game with him, and it's hilarious because, like, the way the Packers lost that game, like, he was so confident that the Niners weren't going to score. And then you have this random just blocked punt that comes out of nowhere.
Everyone in the league knew that the Packers had the worst special teams in the league. It was 32nd out of all kind of metrics.
The funny thing is, it's
your fault.
So you missed the broadcast because you were at the game, obviously. Yeah. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman made two of the funnier statements I've ever heard. And just the raw honesty of both coaches. Kyle Shanahan told Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, "I think this is actually a game our special teams has an advantage." And the way they described it was almost like, yeah, our special team sucks, but we might have an advantage in this one game.
Yeah.
And Matt LaFleur told them, just straight up honest, "I hope our special team doesn't lose this game for us." He said it to them.
Well, that's on you, dude. Like, it's kind of like the Cody Parkey situation. If you're a contender, you can't be that bad on special teams. You don't have to be great on special teams, but you can't be that bad.
The Niners had that issue.
What kind of oversight? How did you have an organizational oversight like that? What?
The Niners had that issue in 2012 with David Akers.
They had the issue in 2011.
Lost it, yeah.
Well, Ted Ginn got hurt, but they didn't go to the Super Bowl that year because of special teams. It can't happen.
I just think it's hilarious from that standpoint. I just think it's extra funny because I hear people talking about, you know, how other teams look this weekend. And if you really take a step back, because I have a lot of friends who obviously don't cheer for the Niners, they're like, "Your team sucks, man. They couldn't even score against the Packers, and the Packers defense struggled for the last 4 weeks of the game. They suck, blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, "They're going to the Super Bowl, though, so."
Yeah, you should have seen how depressed that those Packers fans were when they were trudging home in the snow. It was pretty funny.
A lot of people are actually done with Rodgers, funnily enough. Like, I've heard Packers fans just on Twitter spaces. They're like,
it's not going to work. Going fishing says, in order to throw the ball away, you need one, enough mobility to avoid the rush, and two, be able to throw the ball outside the hash. Thank you. You're right. I guess that answers that. But the funny thing about the throw, the interception to Kittle is like, all right, you beat the rush. You're outside the pocket. Yeah, Kittle was open, but you see that he's not open now. And what did you do? You threw it anyway. That's just a bad decision. That's a bad decision. Mindful naked.
It's not even a ball that you throw, you know, to the back of the end zone, and maybe Kittle gets a chance on it. You throw it short underneath to the front pylon, and Adrian Amos says, "Thank you."
Thanks. Yep. Is it just me, or does this Niner defense, or does the Niners defensive players have a different take on Jimmy than the offense?
I don't know what take they have. Actually, I kind of do a little bit, but I believe in the magic pixie dust. I was totally wrong on Jimmy Garoppolo.
talking to Jimmy Ward before the season, how he was like, why did the Rams go from Goff to Stafford? I think defensive players are a little bit like that. Like, you know, say what you want about this throw, that throw. What is the end result? I think they're a little bit end results oriented at the quarterback position.
Somebody actually made a good point to me on spaces. I think it was yesterday. I forgot who it was, so I apologize for not citing them. But they were like, you know, I feel like this team plays better because they know that they have to overcome, like, Garoppolo.
That's what I am.
It pushes them to play better.
Kind of realize this, like, maybe the fact that they're just not just waiting for Aaron Rodgers or Mahomes.
The Bills defense is so good, right? Yeah. The Bills defense is so good, and it felt like that entire game, they're like, oh, Josh Allen will bail us out. It feels like the Niners, they play with extra pressure because they know They got to do a little bit to help.
We need to force two turnovers in this game to win this game. Let's go. And they've been doing it. They've been freaking doing it. They blocked a punt and a kick and forced a fumble. What a performance. I don't see the NFL allowing two teams having home field advantage for the Super Bowl back-to-back. Man's gonna be so
does that mean the Rams are not going to the Super Bowl or the Niners? Because it's a home game either way.
Can we take 1 second to appreciate Ward running that long
Tart
running that long play down and saving the game? That was Herculean. That man is playing out of his mind. It was Tart.
And the speed, honestly, because if you look at where he ran him down from, and Aaron Jones is fast. He ran him from the far hash. He chased him a good 60 yards. Like that was a season defining play to me. The fact that he didn't quit and he ran him down.
Seth has one of my favorite hot takes.
What is it?
And I'm mad I didn't think of this because this is so on brand for me. I should have thought of it.
Oh, this one?
Seth says the defense is good because they play Trey every week. No, I'm just saying.
Ward did say that. He said he's too good as a scout team QB.
Thanks, Seth. Debo wins Super Bowl MVP. Everyone talks about Debo players, media. That's a good point. He's got to – if you want to put in a prop bet right now, the Niners aren't in the Super Bowl yet, and Vish, although I think Vish says he's picking the Niners. Yeah. All right, we're going to dip out now. The Niners, Kyle's having his conference in 10 minutes. We're going to find out about all the injuries and stuff like that. Thank you for all your donations and all your views. I'll be back tomorrow with, the regular gang. Thank you, Vish.
Appreciate you
coming in. We initially didn't think we were going to get this in, but then we did. It was just as unlikely as the block punt. So it's, it's thematic.
Jordan Willis looked out for us.
That's right. It was divine intervention. Thank you very much, everyone, for watching. Be back tomorrow.